We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Our buddy Jonathan Wells, who joins us every Tuesday in the 4 o'clock hour, talking Browns and Buckeyes, mostly Browns today. Jonathan, what's going on?
What's up, my guys? What's happening?
Good win for the Browns.
Yeah, big win.
Great win.
Big win.
Great win. Man.
You know, let me ask you this, by the way, not specific to this game. More impressive, holding the Ravens to 9 points, more impressive by the defense, holding the Ravens to 9 or holding the Saints to whatever, 18, 19, I can't remember the exact number. What's more impressive?
Holding Drew Brees and that offense of 275 total yards.
After what we've seen them do in these other games?
Incredible. Period.
Because the Saints didn't move the ball until the fourth quarter against the Browns.
I mean, I think they had 3 points with 5 minutes left in the game? Something like that. So, that's not even close. To go down there and do that in New Orleans, I kind of expected them to play well at home, especially after last week in Oakland. I thought the defense would bounce back, and they did.
Yeah.
But to go to New Orleans and keep that offense to 275 yards, phenomenal effort.
Yeah, maybe we don't talk enough about the injury to Terrence Mitchell in the middle of that Raiders game. As a huge factor, because at least they got to go back and plan a game plan this week, and EJ Gaines played.
Good point.
And
played well.
He put Kerry back in the slot.
And he didn't play well against the Raiders, but he played better this week.
They played
well.
It's a
good point. You know, I talked about in the Ravens-Bengals game, C.J. Mosley got hurt in the first half, and they were a wreck defensively in that first half. And
besides that, really throw off a defense.
Yeah, certainly.
Agreed. So. I mean, they hold those guys 4-for-16 on third down. I mean, they were in their hip pocket the whole game. They didn't give up any big plays to John Brown. I mean, I thought the defense played phenomenal this week, and they kept us in that game.
And guess what else, man? Jabril Peppers showed up finally.
He did.
I told you guys, he's been playing better. He's been in the box and he's been physical, but this was actually his best game. But you've been seeing signs of him coming on since they moved him closer to the line of scrimmage.
Well, listen, the first round picks in the last 2 years, last year by Sashi and this year by Dorsey.
You mean Hugh? Stop doing that.
Oh, bogus. Hugh didn't make those picks.
So you're going to tell me Hugh was a quarterback? A really good quarterback coach throughout his NFL career.
Yeah.
You're not going to tell me that Hugh wasn't beating down the door to get Baker? That was all your guy, Dorsey? You're not going to give Hugh any credit for getting a great quarterback?
I gave Sashi Brown credit for the picks last year. I give the GM the credit for the picks.
I'm not buying it. I think Hugh had a big say-so in what quarterback he wanted.
Every time a player flopped in the previous regime, Hugh threw the GM under the bus. Hey. So maybe he had nothing. I don't know. Sure, he had some say, but ultimately –
I think he had a lot.
The GM had – come on now.
For the quarterback, I think he had a lot of say. That's his specialty. That's what Hugh is known for.
I think the GM made the pick. I don't know.
We'll never know.
It's a round table conversation.
But I think the GM's got the final say.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But
especially when Hugh was on thin ice after last year.
That's what I'm saying. You bring a coach back who won 0-16, you going to let that guy who may get fired if he doesn't –
I think so.
Okay.
I think he has a say-so. I think he has a huge say-so because if you didn't like him, you should have fired him. If you're going to keep him, you're going to take his input, I'm sure, at the table. I'm not saying he had the most, but he had a lot.
I mean, I'm not buying he had a lot. I'm buying he had some.
Okay. I'm buying he had some.
Just guessing. We don't know. We don't know. We're not sure. But
fair enough.
Either way, whoever you want to give the credit for, it looks like most, if not all, of the first-round picks from the last 2 years – we know Miles Garrett's a hell of a player. We know Baker Mayfield's a hell of a player. We know Denzel Ward's a hell of a player.
And Njoku, he's coming on. He's coming along.
And Peppers and Njoku got to do more, but those guys have talent. It's not a Justin Gilbert situation.
Right.
This is not a Danny Shelton situation. The guys in the past where it was like, these guys were a total disaster. You know, you got 5 starters, first-round picks, and for years the Browns just wasted first-round picks.
Yeah, I mean, that's – a part of the situation that you walk into an organization that has been ran in the ground. And, I'm just happy about where I see this team going, where the organization's going. I think it's definitely going in the right direction. Obviously, Baker Mayfield is a huge part of that. I heard you guys talking about Denzel Ward. I mean, right now, defensive rookie of the year, I don't see who you can give it to besides
him. They might win both. It would be just the third time in the history of the sport.
Yeah, like the Saints last year. Yeah, that would be dope. That would be dope to bring that to Cleveland.
Well, what did you think about when we were saying MVP so far Ward or Baker? Who would you give it to?
Well, it's got to be Baker because he touches the ball every play. You know, so that gives him 100% of the chance to make more plays than Denzel Ward will ever have in the whole season. So, I mean, it's Baker, but I mean, it's really close. That kid has created a lot of turnovers. Yeah. That kid is. I mean, he's been phenomenal on the corner. I mean, but I didn't expect anything different. Most of the corners that Ohio State puts out, they go to the league and they transition well. So
yeah. it makes you wonder. Take the Buckeye homerism out of this.
Right. Oh, boy.
No, seriously. Like, the Browns over the past few seasons had so many opportunities to draft Ohio State players. They all went to other places and are having success. Like, it's two hours down the road. They're in your backyard. They should be pulling these guys out left and right.
I have never understood that. And to this day, I have never understood. I'm like, you're really just going to watch all this talent leave the state, go to the NFL, become great, and you're not going to draft any of them?
What did I say the other day? There were 47 understand. Buckeyes in the NFL,
something
I think.
Something like that.
I can't remember the exact number. Not that every single guy is great. Some of them have disappointed, but by and large, they've generally been successful, especially the –
that's what I'm saying.
You're a late draft pick, whatever.
The only two guys they drafted were Darnell Sanders and Robiskie.
Right. It's been nobody since – and Robiskie was a long time ago.
So was Darnell.
It's been a long time since the Browns drafted a Buckeye. And, yeah, I mean, look at the Buckeyes that have been drafted recently. Billy Price, he's hurt right now, but I've been watching him. Sam Hubbard looks like a stud already. Yeah. He was a third-round pick. Marshawn Lattimore last year. I mean, and okay? I don't know. He got hurt last night.
He had a concussion. Right. He got dinged up.
Yeah. He's a hell of a player, especially in the last few years. It seems like the only guy I can think of, I feel like, that hasn't been.
The best putter in football is a Buckeye.
Yeah. Eli Apple has not been very good, I don't think.
I think he's been decent.
No, he has not.
He's been terrible?
Kind of terrible.
Yeah, he's had
watch the Giants. You're right.
He's had some bad issues. Issues with him in the locker room. Outside of him, I can't. It seems like every other Buckeye, I'm not talking about guys drafted sixth, seventh round because, you know, what can you expect? But guys that were top three, four round picks, for the most part, have all been good, like 90-something percent.
Ohio State does a great job, man. Putting guys, you know, in the next level. We do a great job at that, and guys are ready to play. You know, so I don't know too many other colleges that have that type of success with their guys going to the league and actually, you know, panning out.
Yeah, I mean, I wish, you know, I feel like I don't know. This would take so much time, but I wonder percentage of, say, guys drafted in the top three rounds. What school has the best percentage of success? If Ohio State's not one, they got to be right up there.
They're top three. They're definitely top three, for sure.
You know, and I guess, how do you determine success? Is a guy a starter? Is he an all-pro? Is he an all-famer? Right. I guess we'd have to debate that.
We need
that,
one of your analytics guys for that.
We need that. We need analytics. It's an important part of the game.
You ready to take that L on the Sean McVay thing or what?
Man, I was borderline praying that something happened and they didn't get it because I knew that once they got that yard, you guys were going to come with that.
Sean McVay would have gone for it on the 19.
Maybe so.
He would have, for
but
sure.
99% of coaches do what from their own 18 up by 8? 99% of coaches do what?
I think 10 years ago, 99% of the coaches
10
were
years ago, boy.
I think now,
Hold on. From there's not even that many plays in the catalog that we could go find this scenario.
I would bet now 75% would still punt, but not 99%.
Oh, 75% would punt. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
That's fair.
Listen, I've given you the whole time that the safe play in the
hindsight is 20/20, and at the end of the day, if they punt the ball, they go and win. We're not having this conversation. But since they lost,
well,
it is what it is.
I'm not determining, but like Hugh Jackson went for it on fourth down in overtime in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it failed. But I didn't think it was a bad call.
But it was on his own side of the ball.
But
we're talking about 60 yards the other way.
That's all I'm saying. No, I'm saying I'm not ripping it just because it failed. I'm not basing my opinion based on what happened. I'm basing it on what, in my opinion, should have happened before the play. Whether and you could debate whether I'm right or wrong, but I'm basing it on that. So even though when Hugh Jackson went for it, even though it was a different yard marker, he went for it on fourth down, it didn't work. I still think that was the right call in that case.
Agreed.
So
I agree that what Sean McVay did was way riskier than going for it at the 18.
Yeah, because the field goal beats him.
That's right.
He'll beat you.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
There's a coach of a team that
love that
immediately turned it around last year, got to the playoffs. Are you hating? Are you hating on him?
I'm not hating. I mean, listen, he made the call. They got it. They got it done. But like I said, I'm of the mindset that when I'm thinking about the whole game in entirety, we're punting the ball back to Derek Carr, who even though he had a bunch of yards that game, what has Gruden been on him for? For making poor decisions down the stretch. So I'm going to punt the ball, make him have to drive 65, 70 yards, and hopefully we get a turnover, get him off the field. Hey, that's my mindset. Yeah. But, it could go either way.
We've all made the argument here. We get it. We get everybody's sides. Don't you think the players would have been fired up if you would have said, let's go for it?
Well, I didn't see any of them going off and saying, let's go for it. I didn't see any of them doing any of that. So
what
they
do you
just
mean? After the game?
No, I mean, like, when he told them to come off and punt, I didn't see anybody saying, I didn't see them, doing that.
I would like to hear what Hugh Jackson had. If they asked you about the situation and McVay going for it.
Again, Hugh said he didn't even think about it. This guy gave you 2 minutes on why it made sense. So.
Two different people.
No, I know.
Two different people.
I know.
He's got it rolling down there.
He does.
He has Todd Gurley. He has a 6'5", 230-pound quarterback. You know, we had a quarterback who fumbled the ball earlier in the game on a snap.
His quarterback the year before he got there looked like the worst quarterback in football.
Still a number one overall pick.
So is Baker.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not comparing that. I'm not comparing that.
You know, so anyway. All right, we'll leave that there.
You guys win. That's what y'all want to hear? You guys win.
No!
You guys win.
There's no definitive answer here.
There isn't. There really
isn't. There's no definitive answer.
You got to put it on your defense to get a stop, close the game
out. I get what you're saying. That's all we got to do. I got to get 6 inches. If I have to get 2 yards, I'm punting.
Agreed.
6 inches, I got to get 6 inches.
That's fair.
All right, guys. So the Browns win 12-9 in overtime. And what was great about the win is that's a game that the Browns just always find a way to lose. Right? And this time they found a way to win. Especially after they try the trick play, it doesn't work, and you're at second in 100 or whatever the hell it was. At that moment, you're like, oh, here we go again. They're going to turn it over. They're going to have to punt. And
I hated the play call.
Yeah.
I hated the play call. But in my mind, I was like, Baker's going to get it. I really just felt like he would figure it out because he had two more downs to get the yards.
And he did.
And he did.
And he ran. And Willie's made a nice play.
Yeah.
But that was, I was watching the all-22 of that throw. That was not an easy throw.
It was not.
He got hit. I think Suggs almost had him. And there was a defensive back that was diving in front of Willie's to try to make that pick. And he missed it by, 6 inches, a foot.
Game of inches.
Right, and that's it. The best quarterbacks in the NFL are not afraid to throw in those tight windows. And that's a big adjustment from college.
It is.
Right, especially when you're playing in the Big 12 and it's like, crazy football.
Really. Flag football.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So that's an adjustment. And a lot of Big 12 quarterbacks have not succeeded in the NFL because of that.
Not at all.
They
put up a bunch of yards, break all those records, comes in the NFL and gets smashed. So that was my only worry about Baker because he played in that conference, but he didn't really play against stout defenses. But I did see him go to Georgia in the bowl game. Wreak havoc on them. I saw him come to the horseshoe and just demolish us. So at the end of the day, I was like, this kid, when he plays against top-notch competition, he doesn't blink. He doesn't back down. And that was the hope that I had because everything else about him, I love it. Love everything else about him.
Maybe we're changing that narrative because Pat Mahomes played in the Big 12.
That's true.
He's pretty good. Baker Mayfield
played
in the Big 12.
Yeah.
He looks pretty
good. That's like 2 out of 20, but it's going in the right direction.
They don't play defense in the Pac-12. Jared Goff's Pac-12 quarterback. That's air raid system.
Things are changing. I think it's an individual. It's the player, right? It's not as much the conference. It's the player.
There you go.
You know, guys, I think we all know that you can't judge a guy's career based on 2 games or 5 games or whatever, right? Like, everybody thought Jared Goff sucked in his first 8 games. Everybody thought Dak Prescott was great. Now everybody thinks Dak Prescott sucks, and everybody thinks Jared Goff's the best quarterback in football. Maybe it's somewhere in between for both guys. Who knows? But that being said, Jonathan, are you convinced after 2.5 games that Baker – we may not know how good he's going to be, but are you convinced that he's at least good?
I'm convinced that the Browns have found their quarterback of the future. There is 0% doubt in my mind that they have not found their franchise quarterback better than anything that they've had here for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. Now, how far he can take it and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But listen, the way he handles himself, the confidence, the way he just uplifts the team, the crowd, the whole city, it's undeniable. The kid has what it takes to play in this league. Listen, he played against a top-5 defense last week, so we can throw that out of the window
that
he hasn't played against a defense.
Yeah.
No, all defenses are good, but he played against a great defense this week.
Right, he played, yeah.
So, we can throw that out. He went out there, put up 340-some yards. He could have had 400 if we had not had five or six more drops this week. I mean, just it's not too big for him. He can, right. he can get it done against anybody in this league.
Yeah. I know you agree, Dustin.
Oh, yeah. No, you're convinced. I think he's the franchise quarterback outside of something we can't prepare for like an injury. I think he'll be very, very good for the team.
I don't know.
Good enough that they're not going to be looking for a quarterback.
Right. I said last week, I said worst case scenario to me, he's going to be Andy Dalton. Worst case scenario.
And that's not a bad situation.
And Andy Dalton's a good, solid NFL quarterback who's going to probably be the Bengals quarterback for 15 years.
Right.
And I think that, to me, that's the floor. So if Andy Dalton's the floor, that's pretty good. Andy Dalton's been a Pro Bowler a few times. He's been to the playoffs now and then squat in the playoffs. But still, I personally think Baker's going to be better. But I think that's the floor. And then, you know, we'll see how good he can be. Who knows?
I mean, listen, I'm excited. I mean, I'm really excited for the city, man. You know, like I said, I don't watch the Browns until now.
Yeah.
But I'm pulling for the city. I love the underdog story. I really want these guys to do well. And I want to see a playoff game in the next 3 to 5 years here at that dog pound on that lake. I really want to witness that one. It's going to be crazy. And I know it's coming. It's coming.
They're going the right way. I think by next year. I mean, who knows? Maybe even this year it's possible. But
it's coming.
By next year, I think there's a good chance the Browns will be in the playoffs.
Well, how many wins do you think the Browns are going to win? How many games are going to have?
I said they'd win 6 when the season started.
Still
I'm standing by 6.
Standing by 6.
Now, it'll be better because I said I thought they'd be 6-10. Now they're going to be 6-9-1. Right. But I'll stand by that. I'll say still six wins.
I think I said 6 or 7. What was my official?
I think you said 7, then 8, then 7. Then by the time we started the season, I think your official
by the time we started to ride, everybody
I think
backed
you were
up
at 6.
Games.
But I was at 6 the whole way. I'm standing by 6. But you, where were you now?
Oh, baby. I'm looking at the schedule. I'm so glad we have these up now. Chargers this week, Buccaneers, Steelers, Chiefs. It's a tough schedule.
Based on opponents' winning percentage, it's the second toughest schedule
in
the NFL.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
I think they went 4.
Got them with less?
No, 4 more.
Four more.
So you're same as me. 6. Yeah. Okay. You got more than that? You're not going to go nuts, are you?
No, if they win this game Sunday, I think they'll go 8-7-1.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, this is a toss-up game. And a lot of them are toss-up games. You have a few that I'm like, the Browns should win, and a few that I'm like, I'll be surprised if they win. But most of them, I think, are toss-up games. But there's no – listen, the bottom line is the NFL is two teams that look amazing, the Chiefs and the Rams.
Yep.
And they have the Cardinals who look terrible – and, you know, the Niners are a bit of a disaster now because Garoppolo got hurt. Is there anybody else that's terrible? I mean, I want to say Buffalo's terrible, but they've beaten the Titans and the Vikings. So how terrible can they be?
Nobody's terrible in this league. I really feel that way. Anybody can show up and win a game.
But the Browns, exactly. The league is so – I think there's 25 teams that are, 6-10 win teams or 6-9 win teams. And if you catch a few breaks, you do a few this, you know, you have a better coach, you have a worse coach, it's going to make all the difference in the world. But it's close. I think the Browns are going to go into almost every game this year feeling like, hey, we can win this game.
They should. Yeah. And they should. They've proven that.
Chiefs game, as great as they've been, and the Chiefs just spanked the Jaguars team that we all thought had the best defense in football. But that game's at home, so who knows?
The Browns' defense has played against the number 3, 5, and 9 ranked quarterback in the NFL, and this defense is holding their own. Phillip Rivers is ranked 12th. So, I mean, they played against 3 of the top 10 guys.
Who's not? Is Flacco 9?
Flacco's 9. Carr is 5. Ben Roethlisberger 3. And Rivers is 12.
Well, what about Breeze?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even put him in there. Oops. There you go.
He's better than all of them.
There you go. I didn't even put him in there.
That's right.
They played against some really good quarterbacks, and the defense has been stout besides really one game.
Where does Rivers rank of the quarterbacks? Forget the stats.
Yeah.
He's not better than Breeze. Is he better than Big Ben? Who's better, Big Ben or Rivers? Who are you taking? Who are you guys taking?
That's tough.
That's
Big
close.
Ben or Rivers?
Rivers. Big Ben's had more talent around him in his career.
Let me ask you this. What talent do I have around me? Which team?
Well, you got whatever team they're on because you got to play them. So what's a tougher challenge?
Well,
okay.
It's hard to do this because we've seen what Big Ben has done.
Big Ben has owned,
done.
Right. He's owned the Browns.
Yeah. But the Chargers have played better than the Steelers this year.
I think Phillip Rivers is tougher. challenge for the Browns.
I can't be mad at that.
He's a gunslinger.
I mean, I think
he's definitely a gunslinger.
You could really flip a coin between those two. They're both better than Carr.
So are you saying that Philip is going to be in the Hall of Fame? Because I heard the Eli Manning conversation.
Well, did you disagree? No. What'd you think? Philip's a surefire Hall of Famer. Okay. Surefire.
Well, I agree.
I think Philip Rivers is a lot better player than Eli Manning.
I think you're shorting Eli a little bit, though.
Eli's a good player, a very good quarterback. Eli's but I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
He's had some great years. He's had some great years.
But I don't think he's a Hall of Famer without the rings. You can be – that's not to knock a guy. I mean, he's a really good quarterback. I just don't think he's an all-time great. And to me, to be in the Hall of Fame, you got to be an all-time great at your position. I think he's an all-time very good. I just don't think he's the best of the best.
Eli Manning is sixth in all-time passing yards in NFL history.
I'm just saying.
A lot of guys are going to pass him in the next few years.
No, we can't do that. We can't do that. We got to go where he stops at. Right, he's going to be top five when he stops.
Where is he in the interception rankings?
Well, you can't do that because you can't do that to Brett Favre. Right. If you're going to use that, you got to use that against Brett.
Well, all right, fair. But what's Brett Favre's touchdown interception ratio compared to Eli's?
Now you're getting technical.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it might not even be better. I'm not sure.
But I think he got more Super Bowls than Brett.
That's true. Brett Favre has thrown 508 touchdowns and 336 picks. 508, 336. Okay. Eli Manning is 345 and 231.
Rivers is going to pass Eli, and so is Roethlisberger. Well,
in terms of what?
Passing yards.
So he'll go down top 7 or 8.
He'll be top 10.
Top 10, easy.
Okay. I mean,
Matt Ryan. Hey, the one thing Matt Ryan Eli's been healthy. He's never been hurt.
Matt Ryan is 10,000 passing yards away from, so he could pass him too.
All these guys are. Guys, we have like 20 guys on pace for 4,700 yards this year.
That doesn't take away from what he's done.
Is Eli
retiring after this year? You think he's not going to play for a couple more years?
He's not going to. I don't think
so. I think it's coming to an end in New York soon. So I don't know about after that. I don't know. But in New York, with the Odell thing, how it's going, I don't know how long that's going to last.
I tell you what I could see, possibly, that the Giants let him go, and if the Jaguars have enough with Bortles and want to bring a young guy, Coughlin's there, that was his coach when he had the best success, I could see him going playing 1 year with Jacksonville maybe. If they decide to move up, like say the Jaguars draft a quarterback in the first round and then you bring Eli in, but just like every other situation, Eli might start the season and then eventually the first round pick is going to take over.
Eli Manning, 7th all time in passing touchdowns.
You can tell me.
I'm just saying. That's
he's
big.
A very good quarterback.
No, I'm not saying he is a lock for the Hall of Fame, I think.
I'm not denying that. Okay. But I'm just saying, I believe, and I don't know if we could ever say this for sure, but I believe had he not – and by the way, he was great in the two postseasons they won the Super Bowl. He was phenomenal. In every other time he was in the playoffs, he stunk, and they stunk. But
those two years,
he was great.
He's been great in those Super Bowl victories. He was great. The reason they won.
He was
like,
a big,
unlike his brother Peyton, who passed for 100 yards in his last Super Bowl victory, he didn't do anything. Right. That was all defense. He was along for the ride.
Yeah.
Eli was the MVP of those victories in the Super Bowl. So
well, David Tyree with the helmet catch.
But did you see what
– Eli, I can't deny he played great.
Did you see
games.
What he had to do to get out of that sack to get the ball? That was great play.
He did.
Maybe the top play in Super Bowl history.
All right. How do you look – real quickly.
Yeah.
How do you look at Hall of Fame quarterbacks now? How do you judge them?
Because it's hard. I don't know how we're going to do that going forward.
Because like John Elway threw 300 touchdowns. He's 11th all time.
Well, the numbers are skewed now.
Warren Moon, 291. Joe Montana threw 273.
Guys, we can't compare. Those guys had to play where defenders could kill you.
Dan Fowler, 254.
That's not the new guy's fault. We can't use that against
the standards have to be raised.
I mean, we can't hold that against
just
the new
like
guys.
In baseball, you got to hit more home runs than you used to. You got to do more things than you used to because the standards have changed. If we're going to put in guy for like the old standards, then you're going to put in 30 quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame in 2 years. Keith was just mentioning that the Broncos game this week, that there's going to be snow potentially.
Snow in October.
I love watching football in the snow.
Great football weather. From your warm home.
Yeah, right. From my couch.
Great football weather.
Did you like playing it?
I love it.
In the snow? How old is not
made
in the snow?
Football is not made to be played in the snow.
Sorry. I love it.
I'm sorry.
As a big back, as a bruiser, I want to pound you. Let's go. Let's line up and see who's the toughest guy. That's what I want.
Did you ever play in a big snowstorm?
I didn't get a chance to play in like a crazy snowstorm. Just a couple of games here and there, but nothing like major.
You played in one here, didn't you?
Was it 2007 here? Yeah.
Now, I did play in the coldest game in Bears history where it was like negative 23. The Texans, we played other. We beat them.
That's got to be the worst.
It was like playing flag football. Like, we had like, we're looking at each other like, all right, I'm going to fall this time. Next time I'll let you get me.
Really?
Like, oh my God. It was so cold out there.
Oh my God. That's got to be the worst.
It was incredible.
What's the coldest you remember? Negative 23 over here. That's brutal.
Denver. I played 9 degrees.
Can't match a negative 23 right here.
Okay. I'm just asking you. I think 9 degrees is pretty cold.
That's probably not wind chill. Is that wind chill? I'm talking about wind chill. I'm talking about wind chill.
Probably under zero.
Yeah, definitely zero. Exactly.
And you got to deal with the altitude there in Denver too, which is not fun.
Yeah. Yep.
That's crazy, man.
No sleeves. I went raw with it.
That's it.
No sleeve, no nothing.
That's manly right there. Yeah, you go no sleeves?
That just depends.
I only did that because
I go no sleeves and run right to the heater and put the jacket on.
No, because I only did that because I had to carry the ball, and I don't like anything on my arms. If I was a DB, I'd be sleeved up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, fair. Fair enough. This week's schedule, a lot of good games. I was saying off the air, every game, all but two games have a point spread of 3.5 points or less, except for the Vikings who are a 10.5-point favorite over the Cardinals and that Rams-Broncos game where the Rams were a 7-point favorite. On the road, every other game this week is close, including at least in the spread, including the Browns, who are a 1-point underdog. Well, did it go down? Did you say it was 1.5, Dustin, or 2? What did you see the line on the Browns Chargers?
1.5.
I'm looking at right here on ESPN. It says Chargers are favored by 1 point in Cleveland, which is, and the Chargers are playing pretty well. They're 3-2 so far. And they've got a lot of. This is another challenge for this defense that has played real well, guys. We've talked about Phillip Rivers already. Keenan Allen may be the best wide receiver in football that nobody talks about. He doesn't get the hype of some of the other receivers. He's really good. They got a young player, Mike Williams, who was a rookie last year and didn't do anything, but he's played well this year. They got Tyrell Williams, Travis Benjamin, although I think he's hurt. Melvin Gordon is a really good back. Austin Eckler, who's their number two back, who plays a little bit, he's put up ridiculous numbers in the few carries he has. They have got, and they got, he's old now, but Antonio Gates is still a threat, especially in the red zone or, on a third down situation. This is a team that is loaded with offensive weapons.
You know what the beautiful thing about that is? I don't care.
You don't care?
I'm really comfortable with this defense. Like I said, I've seen them play, three of the top 10 guys, and they've held their own. Now, that's not to say Phillip Rivers can't come out here and light it up,
right?
Because we know he can. But I'm comfortable going into the game. I don't have any fear about anything you just mentioned. I think the Browns with home field advantage, they should come out and they should play well.
That should be a good game. I mean, and it's always a challenge for the West Coast teams to come east. For some reason, it seems like it's harder for the West Coast teams to go east than the East Coast teams to go west. I don't know why that is.
You got the stats on that?
Was that a guess? I don't. You're right.
Is that
I don't
an educated guess?
No, I feel like I've just heard like guys on broadcast say that, but maybe it's not true. You think it's bogus?
I think it's a bogus stat? I think so.
Is there a challenge just in general going across the coast?
I mean, yeah, it is. You get out there, but most of the time you go out there a day early, so you get you get to get your bearings and get your feet wet. Go to the stadium, you run around, get the altitude. I played in Denver. I didn't feel any different going to Denver.
Right.
I've heard people say they have. I didn't. I didn't find any different, but. I don't think it makes that big of a deal. I mean, just a couple more hours.
Here's why I would think that it would be more challenging for the West Coast team. Because think about it this way. If you're an East Coast team or an Eastern time zone team and you play in the West, you're essentially playing at the same time. You're playing at 1 o'clock either way. It's 4 o'clock here when you're playing 1 o'clock there, but it's 1 o'clock either way. Whereas if you come this way, you normally play... I guess it's still 1 o'clock, but your body feels like it's 10 in the morning as opposed to your body feeling it's 4 in the afternoon. I would think if you're used to playing at 1, it would be easier for your body to feel like it's 4 p.m. than 10 a.m. Is that fair to say?
It's fair
to say.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
So maybe that's something to it. I don't know. I got to find those stats, but...
We got to find those stats.
And by the way, it could be as simple, if it is true... It might have nothing to do with that. It might just be that East Coast teams have generally had better teams than West Coast teams. Could be that simple, too. Who knows? But either way, I expect this to be another close game. I would be surprised if either team won this game easily. You guys?
I think it's going to come down to Phillip Rivers with the ball with 2 minutes to go down 4.
It always does, right?
Do you like it?
It's every single time.
Every game.
Every game, Phillip Rivers has the ball down 4. with no timeouts, 2 minutes to go.
Every time. That's a good position for them. I bet you they're very comfortable in that position with Phillip.
With this defense, I'd take that.
You'll take your chances?
I'd take my chances.
I would, too. I would.
Their two losses this year to the two best teams in football, or at least the two teams that are the best right now. They lost to Kansas City, 38-28. They lost to the Rams, 35-23. They have scored at least 23 points in every game this season. They've scored 28, 31, 23, 29, and 26. So, their offense is a challenge.
I'm excited to see this offense versus their defense, though, because I think Baker just is going to continue to get better. Not Baker, the whole offense as a unit. They're going to continue to get better. They're going to continue to get timing. Hopefully they'll stop dropping balls at some point. And then they got to get better on third down. They're 27 for 82 on third down conversions right now. If they could get better on that and get a little bit better in the red zone and get some touchdowns instead of field goals, which I think they will do once they settle into a package that Baker is comfortable with down there in the red zone, I think they're going to get better there. And I'm excited. I think they should put up a lot of points this week. I don't see San Diego coming in here and really just shutting them out. I don't think they should be able to do that.
San Diego's defense played great against Oakland last week, but they have not played great against anybody else. They're ranked 15th in terms of yards, which is middle of the pack. They're ranked 21st in terms of yards, which is the bottom third of the league, in terms of points allowed, which is bottom third of the league. Their offense is 8th in points and 7th in yards. So, it's an opportunity. It seems, again, we'll see. I haven't watched the Chargers enough to have a good feel for it. We're just looking at the numbers. But they did play real well against the Raiders, but that's the NFL right now. It's hard to predict games.
Yeah, almost impossible.
It really
is. The only good thing about it is your 50-50 chance every week is only two
teams. That's why every point spread's 3 points or less.
That's the only good thing about it. But other than that, you don't know what team is going to show up, how they're going to play. You have no clue until it happens.
I went back and looked, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
7 degrees the wind chill in that game.
Oh, yeah, that's well, there what I you thought. Go.
If it was 9, I'm like, it was.
Everything.
Isn't that awesome? You could look that up all these years later.
The spread was, we were 6.5-point dogs. We covered the spread.
Nice.
I think we beat them 23-5.
You guys
would
beat the Bears. 23-5?
Yeah. Safety in the field.
We won
goal. The
game.
Sounds like an out of control baseball game, right?
Yeah.
23-5.
It was crazy.
Pulled the upset bowl. We knocked the Broncos out of the playoffs, actually, that year.
Very nice. All right.
Jay Cutler.
Okay, yeah. Cut?
Yeah.
You could throw it.
You're like Cutler. I don't. Why do people hate Jay Cutler?
Nah, he's a douchebag.
He seems
I don't care about that. I'm talking about as a football player. This man gets disrespected on an enormous level.
I don't know.
A lot of people think he doesn't work hard or whatever.
You can't tell what somebody is because of his body language on the sideline through the TV. Really?
He's been on some reality shows here.
But NFL people have said things like that. So who's the best quarterback you ever played with?
That I ever played with?
Yeah.
Oh man. I didn't have any great ones, especially not. I don't like throwing guys under the bus.
Was David Carr a good dude?
You were in Indy for 3 days.
For 3 days, right. David Carr was good. I think David Carr had a shot.
No, but was he a nice guy?
Oh, he's a great kid.
Great guy.
Yeah. That's actually one of my regrets. I didn't spend a lot of time with David Carr off the field. I didn't do a good job of maximizing my relationships while I was in the NFL.
Okay.
I should have spent a lot of more time with that kid because he was a great kid. He was married coming out of college, 19 years old, 3 kids already.
Three kids?
He was a grown man coming into college, and I was worried about partying and throwing dumb stuff.
Three kids at 19?
Yeah. I mean, coming by the time he was 22.
All the time he was
22. Yeah, 22. Right. Coming in, he had 3 kids, married. I mean.
So he wasn't into the party?
Not at all.
That was off his radar?
Not at all. But even still, I should have been in his house. I should have been doing something. I don't know where my mind was. I was crazy. It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen, you live and learn, right? There you are. Jonathan, good to see you as always, buddy.
I appreciate it, guys.
We'll see you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.